Our next speaker is Martin Wubin. Response of nematode-resistant cotton germplasm to infection by two isolates of the guava root knot nematode, Loridogyna interlobii.
So I'd like to thank everybody for attending my talk here this morning, and I guess it's kind of timely with some discussion that's been going on from the previous presentations. At the outset, I'd like to thank or tell everyone that this is a collaborative effort with Dr. Will Rutter, USDA ARS at the U.S. Vegetable Laboratory in South Carolina, and Rick Davis, at North Carolina State University. So we all know what southern root knot nematode is, Melodogyne incognita. So it's been historically one of the most damaging cotton pathogens. And over the last 40 years, between discovery of the resistance, it's finally come to fruition with full commercial deployment that's marketed as the two-gene system or two-gene resistance. And this is referring to a resistance locus on chromosome 11 and a resistance gene on chromosome 14. And based on my own tally using data from the Ag Marketing Service, this past year it was about 6.7 to 7% of cotton acreage was planted with RKN-resistant commercial lines in 2019. And I can only imagine that number will continue to rise as people see the benefit of using the two-gene resistance. Saying all that to say, of course, there's a new Melodogyne species that we are all aware of that has emerged as a potential threat. So guava root knot nematode, Melodogyne interlobii. So it was formerly known as M. myoguensis. Guava root knot nematode has a reputation as being a highly aggressive species with a broad host range like most Melodogyne species. And it also has this nasty attribute of overcoming resistance in crops that have been bred to be resistant to incognita. And so that's been demonstrated in tomato, potato, soybean, and pepper, amongst others. GRKN was first reported in Florida in 2004, and since then it's been reported in North Carolina. That was in 2013. That was in a field that had been rotated between cotton and soybean. And since then, it popped up in Louisiana, 2018, where it's, as far as I know, very restricted to sweet potato area. And in South Carolina, that report was 2019. And that was from a field that had been rotated between sweet potato and soybean, I think. And so, because of this recent kind of outbreak, there are quarantines in place in a number of states against importing sweet potato, seed potatoes from North Carolina, including Mississippi, where I'm at. And so an obvious question then is how effective is our cotton resistance to incognita against infection by interlobii? And so we wanted to measure interlobii reproduction on germplasm lines that have the two-gene system of resistance. We included M713-REN1, which is a reniform nematode-resistant line. It has the RENBARB2 and RENBARB3 QTLs just to see what would happen. And as I stated, this work is done in collaboration with these individuals. So experiment number one, this was performed at NC State by a master student in Rick's lab, Tanner Schwartz. I sent him seed of M8 and DP61, which are both susceptible lines, along with M240, M240 and M315, which have the two genes for RKN resistance, and M713-REN1. As you can see, M8 is extremely susceptible to Melodogyne, but the M240, M315, and M713 were all equivalent to DP61 when it came to eggs per gram root of GRKN. When you look at reproductive factor, which is just the total number of eggs produced by the roots divided by the initial inoculum, we see a similar trend with M240 and M315 equivalent to Deltapine. Curiously, the M713 was statistically significant. I don't think it's probably biologically relevant, but it showed up there. So I wanted to do my own experiments, and so I went through the process of getting permission from the state of Mississippi to import mineral lobi material to Mississippi, and received isolates from Rick from North Carolina, which I'll refer to as GRKN-NC, and Will Rutter, South Carolina, which will be SC. So I looked at resistant lines, M240, which is two-gene RKN resistance, M713, and RKRN1, which is a germplasm release that has root knot and reniform resistance. Susceptible lines, DP61 and SureGrow 747, these are the recurrent parents that were used in making those resistant lines. And in this experiment, I also included Incognita, just as a control for the resistance phenotype. And so all this was done in a grow chamber. Each tray got its own nematode and in a complete random design. I'll also say that all materials used from these experiments were autoclaved or otherwise sterilized and disposed of. So I'm not looking to let it get out. So when we look at gall rating, so in the following slides, these charts will be in the same order, starting with RKN, and then across the bottom, these will be in the same order. Susceptible, RKN resistant, reniform resistant, RKN resistant. And so everything behaved as they should. M240 and RKRN1 both have significantly reduced gall ratings to Incognita. With the GRKN-NC isolate, we see essentially no differences between any of the lines. Gall ratings go from 0 to 10, with 10 being almost 100% galled, and most of the lines average between 7 and 9. And we see a similar result with the South Carolina isolate. With the M240 and RKRN had slightly reduced galling compared to the checks, but by slight, between 8.5 to 7, so not really. When we look at reproductive factor by species, of course, RKN, we see what we expect, M240, RKRN1, much decreased. The North Carolina GRKN isolate, we see a slight decrease between M240 and Deltapine 61, but there's no difference between SureGrow and RKRN1. Similarly, in the South Carolina isolate, there's no difference between any of the lines between susceptible and resistant. What's interesting is when you look at reproductive factor by line, for the susceptible checks, DP61 and SureGrow, it doesn't really matter which one you inoculated with. You kind of had the same reproductive factor. When you look at M240 and RKN1, there's a steady stepwise increase in reproductive factor between the North Carolina and South Carolina isolates of GRKN. And for M713, there was no difference between what you used to inoculate. Looking at eggs per gram root by species, of course, Incognita, we see what we expect with M240 and RKN1 having very few eggs. For the North Carolina isolate of GRKN, the SureGrow in this experiment was pretty variable for some reason, but despite that, there's no difference between the resistant lines and DP61. Similarly, there's no difference between the resistant lines and DP61 with the South Carolina isolate. However, you'll notice that with this isolate, the eggs per gram on the susceptible checks were much higher. These scales are different between NC and SC. When you look at eggs per gram root by line, for the susceptible checks, you get this kind of increase in eggs per gram depending on which isolate that you use. Whereas for M240 and RKN1, there is no difference in eggs per gram. So our conclusions thus far, it's a lot of text there, I know. M240 and RKN1 showed slight reduction in galling versus the susceptible checks for the GRKN isolates. However, those levels were still very susceptible. Reproductive factor by species. There was really no difference between resistant and susceptible lines regarding which isolate that you used of GRKN. When you looked at reproductive factor by line, the South Carolina isolate showed a much greater reproductive factor than the North Carolina isolate on M240 and RKRN1. The eggs per gram by species, no difference between resistant and Delta Pine 61 for GRKN. Eggs per gram by line, again, the South Carolina isolate showed greater eggs per gram than the NC isolate on the susceptible checks, but no differences on the resistant. And so there's a kind of a disparity here between reproductive factor and eggs per gram, and that is because the South Carolina isolate produces more eggs, but it apparently also stimulates more root growth. And so when you do an eggs per gram calculation, it comes out showing equivalent to the NC isolate, but in total egg production, the South Carolina isolate was more virulent, so to speak. We also observed some interesting differences in growth habit between plants inoculated with these nematodes. And between the two isolates of GRKN, we really didn't see any differences between those plants, just basically between incognita and interlobi. And one was we noticed right away early on that the interlobi infected plants were shorter. And at the end of the experiment, we did measure stem length. And this is, of course, this is by line. With blue is RKN, yellow, the NC isolate, and gray, the South Carolina isolate. For each line, there was a significant decrease in stem length when you inoculated with interlobi. And that decrease was more pronounced in the incognita-resistant germplasm lines. Along with that, the incognita-infected plants just in general appeared sicker than the GRKN plants. And so these are just representative leaves. For the susceptible checks, the incognita leaves are more chlorotic, even more pronounced with the resistant lines, the incognita-resistant lines, especially RKRN1, where you see very yellow leaves compared to nice green leaves for interlobi. So conclusions, GRKN isolates reproduced equally well on susceptible and resistant lines, equivalent to incognita reproduction on a susceptible. The South Carolina isolate appears to be more virulent than the NC population, but it also affects root growth. And there exists an interaction between the root knot species and plant growth, which may be an artificial observation because this is a growth chamber experiment. Going forward, we need to repeat these experiments with hatch juveniles instead of eggs because we can't assume equal hatch between eggs from the different isolates. So the differences in virulence may be more pronounced. And then also further studies with gene expression etc., and initiating germplasm screening for GRKN resistance, and encouraging survey efforts in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia to be looking for GRKN, especially in sweet potato production areas. So with that, I end, and pretty much out of time.